Welcome to Hot Yoga Radio. It's February the 17th, 2019. What I'm going to do today is read you an essay that I wrote in 1989. This essay, it was a diagnostic essay that was set at the beginning of a course that I took in social science. And the idea of it was to get you to write something so the tutor could assess your writing skills and research skills and so forth. Anyway, the title of the essay was Change in the UK, 1979 to 1989. And I dug this out the other day when I was having a bit of a clear out. And I gave this a read and I thought it was really interesting. It still had some kind of resonances with what's going down now. So, I'm going to read it. Again, the title, Change in the UK, 1979 to 1989. The UK has changed much during the last decade. Rather, it has been changed by the impact of the politics known as Thatcherism. This is not to imply that Mrs. Thatcher acquired an unconstrained hand in 1979, along with the premiership. Thatcherism has been more a strategy for piloting the nation through the turbulent currents of global scale political and economic change than a fixed programme of action to realise a particular political ideal. But both the philosophy and the realpolitik of Thatcherism have served certain economic interests whilst opposing others, and in specific historical, cultural and economic conditions under specific global context. Much UK history of the last 10 years follows from this, though not through a mechanism of simple determination. Thatcherism took the stage at a time of global economic recession, rising oil prices, rapidly rising domestic unemployment, doubling between 1979 and 1981 to 12%, whilst industrial output was sinking. Amidst all this, the allegiance of Thatcherism was scarcely concealed and is still apparent a decade later. Mrs. Thatcher's opposition to the proposed European Community Social Charter, which would guarantee basic workers' rights, is illustrative. The last decade furnishes many more examples. The Conservative government has driven tax cuts to the wealthy. The top rate of tax was 80% at the beginning of the period in question. It is now 40%. A series of Acts of Parliament have attempted to weaken the trade unions. Public spending on welfare has come under pressure, making life for claimants more difficult. The replacement of social security single payments by loans is typical in this respect. The government has sold many publicly owned industries, amongst them British Gas, British Telecom and the various water authorities, and is in the process of selling the electricity industry. What is clear is that Thatcherism serves capital and indeed celebrates it. We are told that wealth has to be created. The essence of this process is investment rather than the transformation of raw materials by labour power, as suggested by Ricardo and illuminated by Marx. Wealth then trickles down, inverted commas, and everyone benefits. But this will only work if business is competitive, that is, if workers do not demand too much for their labour and price themselves out of jobs. For those requiring more sophisticated persuasion, Thatcherism points us to classical liberalism. The 17th century concept of the centrality of the individual is restated in opposition to the collectivism of trade unionism, socialism and welfare, nanny state and Marx. There is no such thing as society. There are only individuals and their families, Mrs. Thatcher tells us. The economic life of the nation is best left to the free market, safely regulated as it is by the invisible hand, which was first detected by Adam Smith in the 18th century. Such was the import of Smith's discovery that a modern-day right-wing think tank has been named after him. For a modern reworking of this philosophy, we are directed to Professor Hayek, a Nobel laureate, who tells us that, quotes, in a market economy in which no single person or group determines who gets what, and the shares of individuals always depends on many circumstances which nobody could have foreseen, the whole conception of social or distributive justice is empty and meaningless. End quote. So, child benefit has been frozen along with student grants. Keynes has given way to Friedman. Government should not intervene in the economy other than to ensure sound money, and its spending is to be cut as far as possible. All this is in keeping with the Gospels, though some of the bishops of the Church of England don't agree. Moreover, we are in the midst of a new enlightenment. On a more popular level, Thatcherism endeavours to win the consent of the people for its activities through any medium that lends itself. Most notable is the activity of the tabloid press. Such a paper as The Sun, with a circulation in the millions and a millionaire proprietor whose financial interest is sustained by Thatcherism, consistently engages in propaganda which facilitates the Thatcherite project, even though Central Office may quietly distance itself from the sexism, racism and the general vulgarity of the paper. To put it another way, the hegemony of the right in the 1980s has been won with an appeal to already existing tendencies and historical residues in the common sense of the populace, and has succeeded in reorganising these elements around its own project. Thus, the success of Mrs. Thatcher's Churchillian rhetoric after the Falklands Malvinas conflict of 1982, which resonated with folk memories of World War II and dusted down the glories of England's sick imperial past to transform the collective mood from depression to elation, and ensure the Conservatives another term in office with a huge parliamentary majority. In these ways, Thatcherism has come to permeate the whole of life in the UK today, not only the statute books, but also the structures of society, both material and cultural, and the subjectivity of the citizens. Even opposing forces are forced to fight on the terrain mapped out and claimed by Thatcherism. The rightward lurch of the Labour Party is typical in this respect. Language too has mutated over the last decade. The 1983 edition of the shorter Oxford Dictionary does not contain the word yuppie. Yet at the time of writing, 1989, there are cartoons about yuppies, TV programmes about yuppies and polemics against yuppification. Clearly something new has come into being. In this case, it is a well-defined social group living in the southeast of Britain and earning very high salaries in the financial sector. The emergence of this group raises questions about the types and distribution of work being done in the UK today, and also about the changes that have taken place and continue to take place in the details of the class structure. Thatcherism's avowed ideal is the creation of a shareholding democracy, in quote marks, and indeed many thousands, if not millions, of working class people own small numbers of shares, though control of capital is securely located elsewhere. A whole generation of working class people are beginning to inherit modest assets, lessening their dependence on wages. These trends have implications for any class based analysis of British society. Yuppie is only one of many terms indicating new realities awaiting respectable inclusion in the shorter Oxford Dictionary, any of which could be fruitfully examined for connotations. Privatise, handbagged, logalout, filofax and loads of money, all are volumes to reveal about aspects of Thatcherism and the various changes they have wrought. But it is reassuring that some things do not change. Over the last decade, the time-honoured institution of riot, police brutality against workers, the miners' strike of 1984, for example, and the marriage of patriotism with military action have all maintained a respectable presence. Perhaps it is true, after all, that history repeats itself. And maybe it is true that the repressed returns and resistance emerges again and again. In one area, at least, the terms of the debate have been set from elsewhere than within Thatcherism, and an old word has acquired a new meaning. And unlike the newly coined terms mentioned above, points away from the epiphenomena of the dominant ideology. Of course, Thatcherism has attempted to apply the now potent adjective green to itself. Nothing so dangerous as public concern may enter the common sense of the culture except on terms that Thatcherism controls. On this account, as well as that of internal contradictions, the Green movement may not have a happy time in the 1990s, but the far-reaching problems that he's pointing out will not go away. So that's it, and I kind of think that the impetus of Thatcherism initiated did manage to roll down the decades pretty well till now. I think now that it is running out of steam, more and more people are seeing through the neoliberalism, which is what Thatcherism is, an articulation of neoliberalism. And but it's surprising, you know, so much of this. I think it was quite prescient of me. Incidentally, the tutor who marked it, he said he thought it was pretty good. And my own opinion, he wrote on the end of the essay, is that Thatcherism is a temporary phenomenon, which will, along with her, will be forgotten in 10 years' time. Well, I don't know how wrong could you be. You know, we're having debates now whether there should be a statue of Thatcher in Grantham, where she came from, and of course Mrs. May really had a stab at channeling the ghost of Mrs. Thatcher, who has been dead for some time, and. This movement, neoliberalism, say, it did kind of start rolling off with quite a lot of momentum, and we're only now seeing some kind of death throes, I think, of that movement. Okay, thanks for listening.